webcasting to the world live the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, February 10th, 2010. The only first night of the winter pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution 2010 ever. Welcome in on this midweek edition of Glenn Klein Online. Glad to have you along wherever you are logging in to from around the globe. Whether you are live or on the archive, we are glad to have you with us. If you are live, we are very desirous of getting you in early and often tonight as we commence the first night of the 21-day winter pledge drive. It's very appropriate to start the winter pledge drive tonight as it is very wintry in many locales around the United States of America. And if you are in one of those places that have seen heavy snowfall and cold today, warm the cockles of your heart by spending the next hour to an hour and a half. We're scheduled to go 90 minutes for our pledge drive, and we're glad to have you along. We've got Sean O'Halloran in the studio, ready to take your calls and pledges at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, and we always need somebody to get us off to a fast and furious start in the pledge drive as we endeavor to raise the operating budget for the Gospel Revolution for the next 3 months during these next 21 days. And now, without any further ado, please welcome the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution from the home offices in Houston, Texas, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Mr. Glenn! How are you this evening, sir?
Well, I'm not doing too bad. We actually just got a donation, so I'm doing great.
Hey, goodness. One
that
a minute like
very,
that, we'll be fine.
Bill and Jeannie Schultz.
Oh.
Saying that they have donated the $100, and we haven't even gone into... they're responding to the email that went out.
Awesome.
But let us go through that very quickly. We are giving the 5-CD series that Michael just taught in Calgary, which we'll be talking about what specifically that series was all about, but it's entitled Spiritual Gifts, Rational, Vital Mental Disposition. And the Schultzes will be receiving that free and postage paid. How you do that, folks, is you just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com after you've gone to the website at gospelrevolution.com. Click on donations and then just do your best. For gifts of $100 or more, whether it be in a one-time gift or in giving over the next 12 months, in other words, you make a monthly donation of $10 or more, then you also receive free and postage paid those gifts. So we're off to a very good start, Michael.
Absolutely. Just, I mean, that's just all the way to the goal line.
Our goal
we
over the next 21 days is $15,000. And we've been doing these pledge drives now for about 3 years, and very rarely have we not met our goal. We obviously have ongoing expenses. We need your help. And whether that be a $5 gift, a $10 gift, a $1,000 gift, it doesn't get this. What we're really going for is participation.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, that's what we did the last time, and I thought it was quite interesting, you know, to we had mentioned our dear David Johnson, he and his brother Scott. Of course, Scott is up in Alaska, and got an interesting email from him this week, actually. But the fact that we get these contributions from David on a constant basis, and I honestly, I mean, he never, you know, we never hear from him. We don't know that he's that he is listening. Nothing. But the one thing that is for sure is that that David is so consistent, and that it will be a minimum of three and possibly five times a month that he will make a contribution, regardless of the size. It's just constant and continuous. So last time it was kind of fun just letting the people know, you know, how much we really, really enjoy just seeing that, you know, that they care. I was on the phone today, Glenn, with three separate people from three different states. And all three of these people I had not been in contact with for quite some time. And all three of them were just so effusive with their gratitude of how the gospel had changed their lives. And each one of them, I mean, I could have switched the story around to each one of them, but all of them had their very personal story to tell of their experience in religion. One of the ladies that called in, she was actually the personal secretary of one of the lady pastors up in Wisconsin. And, you know, bless her heart, you know, the things that that woman went through, I remember seeing her when I was there, and I knew that, you know, that it was rough being in that position. And later on, that same pastor died with cancer, and it was mostly because she just refused to go to the doctor. And by the time the growth had gotten so big in her abdomen, and that there just was, you know, there just wasn't anything they could do for her. But and you know, and everybody watched the confusion and all of those things. I remember going up and speaking and sharing some a little bit on grace with them, and I remember the pastor going back to the office and just broke down in tears. And she was really very desperate, and she said, if what you are saying is true, then everything I have done is completely in vain. And, you know, and I wasn't out to try to change her beliefs in the middle of her battle, and I just tried to encourage her. And, you know, I told her, I said, you know, I'll believe with you whatever you believe. You know, I will be there, you know. And but she did lose her battle with cancer, and this this lady had been a personal secretary to her, and to see her have escaped out of all of that incredible bondage. Oh my gosh! I remember speaking there at the church, and to get call a voice from that church, and then of course the other phone call was someone that had come out of another church that I had spoken in, and then of course the other one was from another church. Just a few people, you know, even if it's just one out of the church that walked away, and they all spoke of just the inability to even tolerate, you know, the so-called gospel that's coming from the evangelical community, and so grateful. People are just so grateful.
That's a really good point. What do you do, other than what you said, with somebody? And I know that on your trip to Calgary, you often have many folks that are senior citizens, if you will, who have spent their life in evangelicalism. But whether it be somebody that is on their deathbed, is on their way out, or somebody who has spent, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years in this thing, how do you satisfy them with the fact, the very real fact, that they have wasted their, maybe even more than wasted their lives with this, have been a detriment to their lives and to other people's lives by propagating this craziness?
Well, especially the seniors that come to Canada. Now, these guys are all going into their 80s now, one by one. And it was so wonderful to see them again, and they trekked all the way up to Calgary, you know, the 2 or 3 hours from south of Calgary where they live. And they just beam. They beam all over. And I, you know, the thing of it is that I don't have to do anything to explain anything to these people at all. I mean, because it's just like the pastor. I mean, she was in the throes of a battle that she was losing, using every tool that she knew to use. And these folks already realized that it was all in vain. I remember them. I remember their journey, and you know, one of them battling a very crippling arthritis in the hands and stuff, and but just such a pleasant attitude, you know, and just nothing can stop these folks. And like I said, they're all beginning to tip over into their 80s, and just wonderful people, and they, you know, their gratitude to me is just overwhelming, and you don't even know what to say. But with these folks, I don't have to. They understand the gospel. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel. You have to explain to somebody, the only time you'd have to explain to somebody the waste that their life has been and that has been consumed upon religion are those who are still in religion and can't see or are afraid to let go of their works. But these guys came to grips with that years ago because they totally embraced the gospel. And the gospel caused them to see this not only the wasteland, but they really don't dwell on the wasteland that's behind them. These folks have a future. One of the guys, he does old cars. He's got like 40 antique cars that he has redone, and he's got 90 altogether, but 40 of them have been completely redone. He's got like his own museum. So they were talking to me, and they he said that, you know, whenever he gets up in the morning and he does the things that his wife asks him to do. And then he asks her if he can go out and play, and that means he's going to the garage. So,
well, a guy that spends quite a bit of time in the garage himself is online with us, our good buddy Pep Washburn from central Wisconsin, Marshfield to be specific. Good evening, Pep.
Hello, Glenn. Hello,
hey, Pep.
I'm enjoying listening to your comments. I've been gone for the last couple of weeks, so I have missed out. I just got home a day or two, or a couple of days ago, and so I haven't listened to any of the archives lately either, but I suppose you've been talking about the Calgary event, and I sure am looking forward to any tapes that are going to be coming. What's in line to be offered?
Well, we've got the CD series entitled Spiritual Gifts. It's a 5-CD series called Spiritual Gifts, Rational, Vital, Mental Disposition. And we're going to be talking during the course of this webcast and for the next couple of weeks as we go through the pledge drive about specifically what Michael taught. I was in touch with Michael during the weekend, and was very excited to hear some of the stuff that was coming about. But while Pep brings it up, we want to remind everybody that this is night number one of the Winter Pledge Drive as we endeavor to raise the operating capital for the next 3 months for the Gospel Revolution. And we need your help, whether it be a $5 gift, a $10 gift.
Yeah.
Michael talked before about David Johnson's gifting on a regular basis, and we went through the list of what David had given recently, and even since the last webcast, David's given some stuff that we'll go over. It's always fun to see the totals that he gives. But for gifts totaling $100 or more, whether it be a one-time gift or $100 divided over the next 12 months, you will receive free and postage paid this 5-CD series, Spiritual Gifts, Rational, Vital, Mental Disposition, just recorded in Calgary, Alberta.
And, okay, then?
Yes, sir.
Hey, well, then, that's a sale I'm going to take advantage of.
That's a fire sale, isn't it, Pat?
I told Sean that I'd be sending $50 in, but I'll squeeze me into a couple months here, and I'll get the 100 to you. So mark me down for my 5-CD set.
All right, and then Pat, when you get off, go online and just go to webcastatgospelrevolution.com, and just email your shipping address so we can put that in the pipeline. And make sure we get you your series. We just got a $100 gift from our good buddy Richard Mull, always coming through in Southern California. And so we're up to $300 in the first 15 minutes. You can't beat that.
Well, we'll just stay on 3 hours.
Out of love.
I've got a little
comment to make, and then I would like to hear Mike's, if he has some response.
Sure, go ahead.
I've been going through the New Testament again, and just started or almost done with 1 Corinthians. And as I, read it from the perspective I'm coming at now, it's so refreshing not to have to read this stuff to try and figure out what it is that God wants me to do. I'm reading these ideas of Paul's, and generally he's simply giving day-to-day advice and the proper functioning of a community and relationships. But when you take off the onerous burdens of trying to appease the master of the universe, one can just read these things in a lighter sense, knowing that. Maybe I should have prefaced all this, knowing that this is not scripture as the three of us would define scripture these days.
Well, as Jesus himself would define scripture.
As Jesus did define it, yes. It's just so refreshing to read it and read it with the idea, here's some good advice, and I can incorporate that in my life. Especially I have found that with 1 Corinthians, it doesn't seem to be too packed with a lot of theology, but more of the everyday wisdom and advice. And got any comments about that, Mike?
It is a good thing to be able to read this through a different paradigm. And I feel exactly the same way you do, Pep. Is that the important issues have been handled. So, and we realize that Paul, in many cases, was giving his view of Scripture. But when Paul talks about, what we understand to be church structure and things like that, Paul's not quoting Scripture.
Yeah.
Paul is trying to satisfy an order of people who are used to a lot of terminologies and a lot of certain type of order, and he's trying to do something that will organize these folks to that with something that he feels will be beneficial for them and help them to be beneficial to others. I think that as time has rolled on, the necessity to do it exactly the way Paul did it is not necessarily there. There may be some situations where that it would be a good idea, but I think the thing of it is that understanding what the Scriptures are and where Paul was teaching on Scriptures, you can't go back to the Scriptures and find out where that the Scriptures foretold that people would have pastors and evangelists and teachers and apostles and prophets after the cross. It's I can't find it. I'm completely open. Now, I realize there's volumes and volumes of scripture that I've not been able to decipher everything about, but I would certainly be open to finding it. But the issue is that, you know, we want to get the gospel out, and I think that Paul's issue was that he wanted to get the gospel out, and he wanted to help facilitate the people in his time who by this type of structure, identified with this type of structure.
Uh-huh.
And it satisfied them, it seems. I think it that the real challenge for us is to find what is the best way for us to share the gospel. Now that we know that Paul's definitions about what we call church structure are, you know, and for the most part, simply his feelings about the subject. And I think we need to understand what we really feel about the subject. And, you know, what was it? What will it take? What does it take? You know, right now, you know, the number one avenue that we have to sharing the gospel is called CDs. My uh-huh. goodness. Used to be tapes, and now it is CDs. Because of all the pastors and elders and teachers and deacons and bishops and all of these wonderful names, none of them that have those titles, official titles through the organized church, believe the gospel. So having the titles assigned obviously doesn't mean anything. And I think in our culture at this time, the moment that you assign those things to them, it has a predetermined understanding, correct or incorrect, there is a predetermined understanding in people's heart as to what those things mean.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it's an open subject. I remember one of the first things that I dealt with was the term reverend. You know, people
what,
are
what
reverend
term?
This and reverend that.
Oh, reverend.
And I remember I just wondered, and this has been, my goodness, 30 years ago when I first started, people started trying to figure out what to call me. and somebody called me reverend, you know, for the first time, you know, many years ago, more than
yeah.
3 decades ago. And I remember, I just wondered, what is that? You know, what does that term mean? So I've always had a Strong's exhaustive concordance, and so I got the concordance out, and I looked up the term reverend, and it only shows up in respect to the terms such as holy and reverend is the Lord. And I thought, well, I don't qualify for that term, so. And I know that I am holy, but I am not the Lord. So, it leaves us in a position where we are open to discussion. I'd love to find a structure that did not take away from the power of the gospel.
Yes.
That would do nothing but promote the gospel and not emphasize the role they play.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Excellent.
All right, Pepe, thank you very much. And email me your shipping address so we can get the series out to you.
Okay, and then can I ask just one more real quick question? We'll let
yeah, sure, go ahead.
In here. This is just a business issue. When are the Houston tapes going to be available?
Oh, thanks for asking.
CDs.
We are going to be
now.
Discussing
CDs.
That in just a little bit more. Are you going to be listening on in the rest of the evening?
Well, my computer, I had to reload my operating system in my computer, and I do not have Windows Media Player on it. I've got to get that loaded now again.
Well, these,
all right, well,
these
we'll
are in the process,
that,
and they are in the hands of the guys who will be doing them from now on, and we expect them to be ready to be shipped within about two and a half weeks now.
Excellent. Okay.
All right,
thanks,
buddy.
Pep.
Thank you so much.
Okay. May you raise 100,000 tonight.
We agree with your confession, brother.
From your mouth to God's ears.
As the Jewish boy would say.
Thanks, Pep. All right, there's Pep Washburn, ladies and gentlemen, getting us off to a very good start. Now that line is available to you for your calls, your questions, your comments, and your pledges at 1-800-436-3260. That is the Glenn Klein Online Winter Pledge Drive toll-free number, 1-800-436-3260. If you get a busy signal, that's a good thing. That means we have people calling in. Please be patient and call back. We've raised $300 so far on our way to a goal of $15,000 over the next 21 days for gifts of $100 or more, whether they be a one-time gift or a combination of a monthly pledge. You will receive free and postage paid the aforementioned CD series, 5 CDs. And as Pep said, he could not refuse that offer. A lot of times we give one CD away as a thank you gift, but we're giving the 5 CD series that Michael just recorded in Calgary, Spiritual Gifts, Rational, Vital, Mental Disposition. You're going to want to hear what that's all about as we progress on this webcast and pledge drive. 1-800-436-3260. All you do is go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage, click on donations, and make your best donation, whether it be a one-time gift of $5, $10, $100, $1,000. What we're looking for is everybody who has been uplifted and blessed by the message of the gospel to participate. 1-800-436-3260. After you go to gospelrevolution.com and make your pledge, please email us and let us know what you did. Include your shipping address on there. So for those that have given the $100 or more, we can get this order in the pipeline. And why don't we take a moment now, Michael, since you alluded to it because of Pep's question, exactly what has transpired with the duplication process, what is happening, what has happened, and hopefully the solution that will fix the delays that have been ongoing for a long time.
Yeah, you know, the thing of it is that we now have a professional company to do this. This is what they do. And they will be designing the CDs. They'll be the covers, the labels for the CDs. They'll be designing the cover. I just went through the last approval process on this first series they're going to be doing. And they are already in the process of duplicating the CDs, and this is on the new Hebrews series. It is going to take us a bit of time. I wanted to go through the entire process with one single series so that I would have a good working knowledge of the process. And because I'm going to be the one that's in contact with these folks, so it'll be the orders will come in directly, and they will go directly to to Kingdom Tapes, actually, who's been the people who we've done business with for tapes and also for CDs for well over 25 years now. And they've always done a very good job for us, and so they're going to be doing all the duplications, and all of this will be mailed out from their offices in Pennsylvania. The return address will be, of course, the ministry's return address in Illinois. You know, should anything get lost, it'll come back to us, and that way we will know what's happening. And that's part of what we're doing the pledge drive for, because on each and every one of the series, we are paying them to take over each one of these at a time, and it's going to cost us. There is a upfront cost for getting this going for each one of the series. They will build up an inventory and then mail those out for us from there. So all the way from start to finish, the only part they will not be handling is taking care of the CDs and mastering them. I have a professional who does that in Michigan. And so they go to him to be mastered. They go directly from there to Kingdom to be reproduced and for the design covers and labels. I think everybody's going to be very pleased with the way these look. You're going to get a very professional looking product and a very professional sounding product. Some of our older series were not to full quality as I would like them and as everybody else would like them, but they are good. They're not bad quality. They just, some of them are not of the most excellent quality. And we're working on that, to upgrade that. And the only way I can do it is to reteach them again. But so we're in the process. So I'm very hopeful. You know, Don and Judy did the very best that they could, but, you know, they didn't have secretaries, they didn't have workers, they didn't have the high-speed duplication capability, they didn't have graphic artists, and all of these things. They didn't have a shipping department. All of this was done in their house. And believe me, I did it myself in the house when we first started this, and it is a mess. So it's just time to move on and do this right. You know, we're doing this for the gospel, so it's going to cost us more to have it done this way. But we would rather pay more for it to be done and for the people to be able to get their orders and to get their CDs back, because our goal is to get the gospel out. So we're paying more for this to be done so that people can get their material and it be of good quality and something to be proud of.
Well, and as you beautiful humans know, this has been and continues to be completely a voluntary organization, and we've tried to have the duplication be volunteer as well, and, you know, frankly, it just has not worked as well or nearly as well as we need it to be. So we've gone to this option of professional duplicators. We know that there are past thank you CDs as well as orders in the pipeline. And just be patient with us, and we thank you so much for your patience. But if you have any questions, you can email us or you call Michael directly at 281-955-1910. That's his home phone number, and talk to him about it. But we are very cognizant of the fact that we need to get these out in a prompt way and in a responsible way, and we will make good on anything that has ever been promised or ordered. And that number, again, is 281-955-1910. Moving right along with the Winter Pledge Drive, the first night of the Gospel Revolution Winter Pledge Drive for 2010. We have already raised $300 from the Schultzes and from Richard Mull and from Pep Washburn, and also with a $100 contribution, we're glad to welcome back online from beautiful Mount Vernon, Ohio, Mr. George Najir. George!
How you guys doing?
We are doing wonderfully. Thank you for calling in tonight. And thank
glad
you for
to.
Contributing.
Well, seriously now, what special favor do I get with God for contributing?
Oh, George,
question,
you just
Michael,
don't
what
know.
Is the favor of God? What is the blessing, the thousandfold return that George can be waiting for?
Well, other than the, well, I can't guarantee a thousand. We can guarantee a hundredfold return. That's as far as we can go. And perfect health, at least a $5 million home. And would a new Jaguar be okay?
All that would be fine. Now God makes the payment on that, right?
Yeah, it's God does it. It's not up to us. Now, if it doesn't work, there's something wrong with your faith.
Right. Okay. So I would have to gain a little bit of faith, or a lot more faith.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't plant enough or sow enough.
Yeah,
you have too many dirty thoughts.
Sin out of your
many
life.
Dirty thoughts could counteract that.
Yes, and then I had sin in my life, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do the best I can to adhere to all of the the things that you just now said I have to do in order to get that hundredfold blessing.
Yeah.
But
none of that makes any difference if you don't give the $100. You can do all of that, but if you don't give the $100, none of it will work.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess we're on the wrong track.
Welcome to Sarcasm Theater, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, just that when I start putting notes up on the Facebook about, I ask Christians, you know, if certain things work. For instance, does the power that you feel or the authority or whatever that great feeling is that you feel when you're in church and everybody's singing hallelujah at the top of their lungs and falling on the floor, crying out to God and praising and worshiping, and all of that power and great feeling, I asked on Facebook, is there any Christians here that will answer this question? Does that stick with you when you leave the church on Sunday, and how far into the week does that stay with you? Guess how many answers I got, or responses. And I've got a lot of standard Christians on my, over 700 Christian friends on my Facebook.
That's awesome.
Guess how many responses I got from them?
Zero.
Very close. I have got two.
And what did they say?
One of them says, actually, I don't remember. It was so, you know, it was so boring. I really don't even remember. I could go look it up.
It was an explanation, not an answer, I bet.
It was an explanation. Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
But the thing is wouldn't you think that someone would be willing to stand up for something that they put such great effort into and focus the entire week? Choirs practice all week long. They work hard. They get that. I used to be a sound man. We used to work on that sound equipment all the time. Something was going wrong all the time. Lighting, you name it. And with all of that effort, and we have one great grand service that culminates in a huge altar call and just all of the glory and all that, don't you think someone would stand up and say, you know, lie or something? But I'm starting to have more faith in Christians because they're not willing to lie as much. What do you think?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it's those experiences were quite remarkable for all of us. But your question was well framed. You know, the issue is how many of you kept that, you know, after you got home during the following week while you were at work. And as far as just a church experience is concerned, and the powerful thing about the gospel that is resonating in the hearts of so many people, because the emphasis was on the experience, now the emphasis is on the truth, not the experience. And and we put so much of the validity of whether or not we were spiritual, speaking of the new series that we got, on these things happening in church, you know, even just whether or not you got caught up in the praise and worship that day or you didn't, or, you know, and then you got to figure out why the Spirit wasn't there, you know, or who was there that stopped the Spirit from flowing. Dear Lord, I remember accusing so many people. Yeah. I mean, it was like a Salem witch hunt, you know.
Yeah.
So-and-so was there, and it just quenched the Spirit, you know. So we had all of those explanations. But thank God spirituality has been redefined for those of us who are embracing the very simple gospel, that spirituality is not defined by any external means whatsoever. You know, the Pentecostals defined their spirituality by their women's long hair and their dress lengths and You know, religion to religion to religion has all forms of external validity that they put on their spirituality. And the powerful thing about that we've all come to understand about the gospel is that the gospel is truth regardless of anything we experience or do not experience, and that that truth it remains truth. That it's not based on someone's experience or to what degree they experienced it. And then isn't it amazing? To have those experiences, you have to be in that certain type of church to do it. Can you imagine somebody in the Mennonite church just breaking out in tongues with nobody saying anything about it? Can you imagine somebody, imagine somebody at T.D. Jakes' church showing up with a bun on the top of their head, their dress all the way down to their ankles, and with no makeup on. You see, to experience that, you got to be with the right group, regardless of what it is. So that's the thing that I'm very grateful for with the gospel, is that we know that the gospel is the power of God, but thank God it doesn't have a particular external manifestation to validate it.
Michael, that was beautiful. The way you articulated the change, the transition from experience to the truth.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, I happen to know that there are some very, very new people listening. And what exactly is the gospel? You keep saying that the gospel is this, the gospel, you know, the gospel frees you and so on. Exactly. What is the gospel?
There's only two things, George, that I can find that is called the gospel, and that is the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. The term gospel just simply means good news. But what is it good news about? There's two things that the gospel is good news about, and number one is peace. Now, the gospel of peace is not the gospel of tranquil feeling in your heart that you have peace. The term peace, when it's talking about the gospel of peace, is the term that would be used in the cessation of hostility. Like if you were to say that the North declared peace with the South, there is peace. That means a cessation of all hostilities. The number one thing that the gospel is a revelation. The gospel is a revelation. The very same as the law was a revelation. The law was a revelation of a condition of sin. The gospel is a revelation of a condition of righteousness. That revelation comes through the gospel of peace. Number one, there is no such thing as an angry God anymore. The second part of the gospel is the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is not a sensation that you feel. Gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is the gospel that teaches you you're now free from the law, that there is nothing you do, including your belief or your faith, that qualifies you before God. So the gospel really is two-pronged, and its manifestation is to reveal a condition of righteousness. Because just think for a moment, if the gospel reveals to you that you are righteous before God, or reveals to you, rather, that God is totally at peace with you, the first thing the mind has to ask is, why is God not mad at me? He ought to be mad at me. If God is not angry with me, God hates sin. God is angry with sin. We know all of that. So if God is not angry with me, how is that possible? You see, there's only one way that God could not be angry with you, and that is if you are completely righteous and holy.
Without sin.
But absolutely, and completely without sin. The only way you could stand before God and be at peace, and God be at peace with you, and have no anger, no wrath, no vengeance, because sin, let me tell you, I still agree with the evangelicals. God hates sin, but he hated it so much, he destroyed it. sin is not something.
Excuse me? And he destroyed it? How?
He destroyed it.
How? How do I know sin is destroyed in my life?
You know sin is destroyed because Jesus, he that knew no sin, was made sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's how we know. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he became sin. He became sin. And he became, he was the Word made flesh. And so he became the law of God. He became sin itself. Here was this, on the cross hung the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus was the manifestation of sin and the manifestation of God's law. And they both hanged together there on the cross. They were both nailed to the cross. They were both put away because one kept the other alive and the other kept the other vital. And neither of them are vital and neither of them are alive anymore. Sin is dead. That's how you know that you have no sin in your life. It's not because you do or do not do anything. You have no sin in your life in God's eyes because there is no law and sin was completely eradicated from the earth 2,000 years ago.
I happen
that
to know
gives
that
us a revelation of righteousness. And the gospel of grace also, the gospel of grace also gives us a revelation of that righteousness. When you don't have to do anything to earn God's favor. Okay, so then the gospel of grace is that you, everything that, God has for you is unearned. You can't earn anything from God anymore. But if you don't do anything to qualify before God, why do you not have to qualify? The only reason, the only rational reason, and I mean really rational reason, based on what we know about the Old Covenant, the only rational reason you could come to is that you are completely righteous before God and without sin, the very same revelation. So whether it's the gospel of peace or the gospel of grace, the gospel is to be preached to reveal righteousness because the law was preached to reveal sin. The law was preached to reveal a sin that man had without breaking the law. And the gospel is preached to let us know that we have received a righteousness that we have received without obeying any law. We are free people, righteous and holy in God's sight.
So it doesn't matter what I do. I cannot, first of all, I can't earn it. But secondly, there are no eternal consequences. If I was to go murder someone, I know I'm going to have to go to jail. But after I die, I'm not going to burn in hell.
Eternal consequences were eradicated 2,000 years ago. This is the thing, George, that the church has refused to preach, and it's the only thing that is the gospel. There is not a gospel of healing. There's not a gospel of prosperity. There's not a gospel of how to get rid of your sins. They don't exist. They are manufactured in the minds of men in the religious halls of this planet. The only revelation that is in the gospel is of righteousness.
So all of my friends still attending Pentecostal churches and Baptist churches and so on, they're wasting their time. Is that what you think?
Desperately wasting. They're not only wasting, it's not just a wasting of their time, it's a consuming of their soul. It's not just a waste of time, George. It is a devastation to the soul. It wreaks havoc on the soul, on the very mind and heart that ought to be enjoying the gloriousness of the gospel, the love of God, the grace of God, and peace with God, and religion, all of them that are attending these places are not only wasting their time, they're damaging their hearts.
Yes. Now, you guys know I'm on page with you. I'm asking these pointed questions because these are questions that someone who first hears the gospel tends to ask.
Absolutely.
Okay, so,
and we've been getting them for, goodness, I've been fielding these questions for 20 years now. And
well,
it's been a wonderful thing to be able to answer them. George, that's been the most one of the most transforming things about ministry to me, with the gospel as opposed to the religion I was in, was that I was instructed to never open up to questions. You don't do that. You just don't open up to questions. But when I started sharing the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace, when I started sharing on those two subjects, my heart was prompted to open to questions because I didn't know what I was doing. And I wanted people's questions. And let me tell you, I was terrified to open up to questions. I was so frightened. And I thought, well, I'm going to open up a can of worms. Somebody's going to get mad. And oh my, did they ever get angry. They got angry. They got mad. They got furious. They stomped. They stormed. They charged at me. All of these things. Right in the middle of church. And it's like, we're in church.
Yeah, I tell you, I remember teaching a youth group. I had a Bible study, and I don't know, I was an instructor there. And I wasn't a minister or anything, but they started asking questions about things like masturbation. And I said, I mean, there was no authority in the room, but one of the kids left when the subject came up, and here comes one of the ministers. And I was saying, well, you know, I don't think there's anything against it in the Bible. And I didn't have any idea about the gospel of grace or peace. I was still fully ensconced in, you know, law.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I think you can do it. But the only thing is you got to watch what's on your mind when you do it. But if you do it without anything, I guess you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
the song and dance we had to do to try to even speak a thread of truth, you know, you just had to song and dance your way through it. Thank God we don't have to do that anymore.
It was painful. So, you know, Michael, you were saying that Jesus was the law and sin.
He was the embodiment of God's law and sin and the entire Word of God.
Okay. So, yes. Okay, so he's nailed to the cross. So are you telling, okay, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, I think, either 12 or 22, it says that the old serpent is the accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
Jesus said that there is only one accuser, and it's Moses in whom you trust. It's the law.
Absolutely.
So if Jesus said that the only, see, people don't believe that words mean things, but I do. And when Jesus says there's only one, I believe that there's only one.
Yeah.
So if there's only one accuser, and it's the law, and the law is the serpent or the devil, then for Jesus to be hung on the cross and become the embodiment of sin, he had to be the devil.
Well, he definitely was the manifestation of the man of sin, for sure. And most everyone connects that the man of sin, they would say, was the devil himself. And but you know, the quote is that the end would not come until the man of sin was revealed. Well, we know that the end came at the cross. So if the end came at the cross, where is the man of sin? The man of sin was on the cross.
Yes.
Delivering the people to the hands of righteousness. See, I have no problem with Jesus being all things. He is in all of all through all, and by him all things exist. I don't have any problem with that. I may get to a point, George, where that my knowledge and my understanding breaks right down in front of me as far as being able to explain it, but it doesn't mean that I cannot embrace the fact that Jesus is all things.
You know, the manifestation.
And as we continue to grow in the gospel and continue to grow in our understanding, I think all of these things will become very clear. And
The manifestation of evil and initially of the law was the serpent in the garden.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was the first time, of course, where a law was broken.
Yes.
It was the first time where God said something. In fact, the text has even more tension in it than God creating the universe, where God said it and it was so. He said it and it was so. But to man, God commanded man not to partake of the knowledge or the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And then here comes the serpent tempting the woman to break that law. And then we see, of course, everything transpires in the garden, but then we see, as we know the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, that's what Jesus and the disciples defined as the scriptures. We see in the scriptures Moses holding up the staff with the serpent on the staff. And when the people looked at the serpent on the staff, representing the cross, representing the law, or as George was saying, Satan being encompassed in Christ, the people were healed. And so when you think about that as a foreshadowing of us now looking back towards the cross, understanding our healing, our wholeness, our righteousness in God through Christ, through the sacrifice, it really is a powerful representation of what all that was happening right from the get-go.
Absolutely. And here you have everything on the cross. You have the whole human race. You have the man of sin. You have the law of Moses. You have God himself. Everything went to the cross.
Yeah.
So that at the cross, there would be nothing dividing us ever again. That we were all made one. That Jesus, and I believe that this is an accurate representation, that Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Whatever Jesus had to become to destroy the works of the devil, that's what he did. He did it. Now, he didn't do it after he went to the cross, and you got to realize this whole made-up story from the cross to the throne, this made-up story of Jesus dying on the cross, going to hell, beating up all the devils, you know, smacking Satan around. It's completely fabricated fiction. Whatever took place, it all took place on the cross. Whatever was destroyed, it was destroyed on the cross. Whatever needed to be dealt with, it was dealt with on the cross. And every ounce of life that we needed to replace all that was defeated was manifested when Jesus' body came out of the grave. Everything that needed to be defeated was defeated. It's not going to be defeated. It was defeated. Now, the degree that we understand that is life-transforming. But also to understand the power of his resurrection. Paul said in his testimony, he said, I have given up my own righteousness. Isn't it amazing that Paul's testimony was not the testimonies you hear in church today? Who have you heard stand up in church and say, I have a testimony. I've decided to give up my own righteousness. I'm giving it up. I'm giving up all my righteousness. No, they say they're giving up their sin. Mm-hmm. Paul never said that. Paul, being a murderer of the church, never once said, I'm giving up a life of sin. He said, I'm giving up a life of righteousness.
He said the exact opposite. He said
the total opposite to the testimonies. Paul would have been run out of town for having such a testimony.
Today he would. If he stood up in a pulpit and said, let your sin abound so grace can much more abound. Can you imagine? I mean,
yeah, we can imagine, George.
Yeah, we can.
It's been happening.
Yeah. Okay, so just one more. Boy, this has been fun. But just one more statement. So my little friend, who I happen to know, is listening. There's no need to fear a devil or some dark thing coming in the darkness and going to scare you away, and hell is waiting for you for anything you are. You have no choice. Where you're born, Paul in Acts 17 said that each temple is appointed and the bounds of its habitation are predetermined. So in other words, everything that you are, every hope, if you've been born into a home where a parent abuses you, but you've turned into a terrible person or what have you, you've rejected God, you don't want anything to do with it, and you're going to die, and you get shot in the street and you die. That the boundaries of your habitation have been predetermined before time began. And for whatever reason, you know, God is playing this out. So is there a devil to fear? Is there an eternity to fear, no matter what they're doing? That's my question.
Absolutely none. And that's the thing that we're very grateful to let people know. You know, when you start talking about the devil, believe me, I talked more about the devil than I did Jesus. And I was introduced around America as America's foremost authority on demonology. That's how I was introduced. And I taught demonology. I taught what demons do, how demons do it, how they get there, how they leave, how they, you know, you open up this door and they come in here. You do that, they do this. You do that, the demons do this. And to come to the reality, and especially for the person that's listening, your friend, you know, I was consumed with talking to the devil. I rebuked the devil. I did all of that. And when I realized that there was that I had been redeemed completely, I began to question my relationship with the devil. I didn't start questioning my relationship with God. I started questioning my relationship with the devil that I'd been taught about. And I thought, you know what? I don't think I need to talk to you anymore. And so the communication started dying. It didn't go away completely, but the communication started dying. And after a while, I realized I hadn't spoken to the devil in months now. I haven't addressed him. I haven't rebuked him. I haven't done any of those things. And nothing has changed about my life. I'm still here. My car didn't go flying off the side of the highway because I didn't bind the devil before I got in my car. You know, and the bus I was riding on didn't go careening. But see, because we attach external spirituality to things, and the fact that we all need to understand is, regardless of the household we're in, we have been predestined to be righteous and holy regardless of the situation. The situation is irrelevant in relationship to God. The situation can be handled. The situation can be dealt with, looked at from a whole different mental perspective, totally different mental perspective, if you know the situation has no bearing on your spiritual condition. And you're not in this condition because God's displeased with you. You're not there because the devil got in. You're not there because somebody didn't pray enough or didn't do enough. That is such a state of mental illness. Thus, the whole series that we're offering people right now, this powerful series that on spirituality. I didn't know what spirituality was. I started learning many years ago, but that's what this entire series focuses on.
Well, George, thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you.
Listen, thank you.
I enjoyed this.
It's great. George made a contribution of $100. And George, just email to webcast@gospelrevolution.com your shipping address so we can get this series out to you.
Okay.
All right?
And
do that so we can get it in the pipeline.
Okay, my friends.
And
have a great night. I really, really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Really appreciate your participation.
Okay. Love you guys.
Love you too, man. There's George Najjar from Mount Vernon, Ohio, who made a $100 contribution and made a significant contribution
to this webcast through his questions and insight. And this is night number one of the Winter Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. We have a goal in the next 21 days of raising $15,000 towards the operating budget of this non-for-profit organization for gifts of $100 or more, and they are tax-deductible in the United States of America. You will receive free and postage paid the 5-CD series that Michael was just referencing, Spiritual Gifts, Rational Vital Mental Disposition. Spiritual Gifts, Rational Vital Mental Disposition. That was the series that Michael just taught in Calgary, Alberta, and we want to make sure that you guys get that. So for gifts of $100 or more, whether it be in a one-time gift or during the course of a year by giving at least $10 a month in a monthly pledge, you will receive that. But we're just asking you to go to the gospelrevolution.com website, click on donations. All the options are there. Make your best donation, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your shipping address so that we can get out your teaching CDs, the thank you CDs, as soon as they are available from Kingdom Resources, and that's our new way of doing this. It's going to be a little while to get caught up not only with the teaching on the book of Hebrews, revealed and debunked from the Houston Convention, but also a lot of the back-ordered CD series and single teachings that are in the pipeline. But as we said, if you have any questions about it at all, beyond what we've explained via this radio program, feel free to email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, or you can call Michael directly at home at 281-955-1910, 281-955-1910. As is our want, during the webcast, we go at least 30 minutes over our normally allotted one-hour time so that we can take the time to talk about the pledge drive and then address all your questions and comments. But since George has departed, that line is available to you now. We invite you to call us with any comments, questions, insights, wisdom, and pledges at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. As we mentioned, Michael, about people giving small donations, we've talked about David Johnson before with his smaller contributions. Here is what's come in from David since we last mentioned it, and this is before the pledge drive started. This is David Johnson in Illinois just thinking of us, thinking of the effort, and whatever moves him, whenever he's thinking about it, he just goes on and makes a donation. And so on January 28th, he made a donation of $3. On January 31st, he made a donation of $30.76. On February 1st, he made a donation of $2.20. On February 2nd, the next day, he made a donation of $4.40. So, and this, again, is money that it adds up. I mean, if people would do that, if everybody who has been touched and moved and inspired by the Gospel Revolution would make a donation of $10, we'd be good to go. $10 a month, we'd be in hog heaven.
Yeah. Well, we certainly would be meeting all of our expenses, and we could be setting some goals as to different things as to how to get the gospel out. And we want to do that. We've got several suggestions on the burner now, and but our, like I said, our number one way of spreading the gospel is CDs. We must get these done in a timely fashion and in a professional fashion. And again, we thank Don and Judy so much for attempting to do this. And but like I said, you know, they tried to do it without a secretary, without a a design artist without a shipping department, without all these things. So you start out just hamstrung from the beginning trying to do this. And this is going to cost funds to be able to get all of this established and set up and running with this company, which has a good 25-year track record, not in doing CDs, but in, of course, tapes and then CDs. So I'm really excited about it. I think if there's anything that has been a grief to my heart, it's when I get a call from somebody that says it's been, 2 months since I sent in my order. Can you tell me where it is? And everybody's been so kind, And we've just not had in place. We've had good hearts in place, but we've just not had a system in place to where that we could keep track of this in a business fashion in the way that it should be done.
Got a really nice email last week from Sharon Kennedy that said, "What a glorious webcast last night. They are so enlightening. But to hear these call in and share how the gospel has and is changing lives with insight of the reading of the scriptures, with new understanding of what the finished work of Jesus accomplished for us all, is just incredible. Little cracks are opening up to share a little bit here and there. I just keep my ears tuned to what is being said and insert a little insight that I gain from hearing you, Mike and Glenn, and the guests that call in, as well as the understanding I get from reading the scriptures. Sincerely, Sharon Kennedy."
Yeah, what a sweetheart. Goodness, I remember that process from years ago there in Oklahoma. Oh, my gosh, and you get an opportunity to go in and speak in one church and the number of lives that it impacted and the number of people that that even though I was not welcome to come back to the church, the people who actually came there and sat and listened and were impacted enough to and at the right time in their life and in their process to be able to receive the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace. And just these are such beautiful people. I just we do get we've gotten a few of you together at the conventions and but my goodness, all of the people that I know that want to be there that, for whatever reason can't be, that I know that everybody would so enjoy each other so much, and I'm the only one privileged enough to know all of you. And I want all of you to know each other, so this is like big family time. So, but yeah, Sharon's story is beautiful, and she is very grateful for the gospel, that's for sure.
Well, we hear Sean in the background for some reason, hopefully taking a pledge. For those of you that are listening on the archive, as we know most of you do, you really fill in the gap in between the programs. That obviously, we're trying to raise $15,000 at $5,000 a week. We need to raise a lot of money in between each live webcast. And the way to do that is by obviously listening on the archive, going to the website. All you do is go to gospelrevolution.com, page down, and right in the middle of the homepage, it says, "Please donate," and click on there, and that will send you to the donate page, and you just make your best contribution. Let us know at webcast@gospelrevolution.com so we can report back to the folks the progress. And obviously, this is a momentum thing. It's as natural as anything. People want to be involved in something that's happening, and you can hear when you hear a Pep Washburn, when you hear a George Najjar, every single time we have a pledge drive and have any need of support, there's Richard Mull, there's Bill and Jeannie Schultz, and so many people like that, the Victor Brennans of the world, the Greg Ambergies, so many people right in there all the time, and, you hesitate to name names because you always forget some folks, but people want to know who's participating, where they're from. And so we want to hear from you. That phone number is available. We've got about 15 minutes left to go in night number one here of the Winter Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution, 436-3260. Sean O'Halloran is waiting in studio in the very chilly Tampa Bay region, not as cold as perhaps where you may be listening from, but we hope that the message is warming the cockles of your heart tonight on this Wednesday night. 1-800-436-3260. Let us finish strong here as we're having a very good first night of the Winter Pledge Drive. Michael, this question comes from Tulsa. He says, this is from Terry Barnes. He says, I live in Tulsa, went to church where I heard Carlton Pearson preach, where he lost his church. What gets me is how you guys twist the Word of God to where it's okay to break the Ten Commandments. It's an anything-can-go religion. I've had so many folks say it's a cult. I know nowhere in the Bible where God says it's God's will to send us to hell. We send ourselves to hell for not doing the things God asks us to do. What you're saying is we can sleep with other ladies while we were married, break all of God's laws, and get by with it. It does not work that way. That's why the world is the way it is now, and divorce is where it is right now. No one believes the real truth. It's easier to rewrite God's word to make everyone feel good, to win them over to false teachings, and to brainwash them. That's from Terry Barnes, who heard apparently Carlton Pearson in Tulsa quite a while ago at this point.
Well, number one, what a stupid thing to say that we won't do the things God asks us to do. Now, that's just ignorance. There is no place where God asks us to obey his commandments. He commanded us to obey his commandments. Do you see what evangelical Christians do? See, they want to hold their line of thinking, but they know it's so stupid they have to water down even the Word of God, even the Scriptures. God didn't ask us to be holy. God didn't ask us to be righteous. God didn't ask us to obey. He commanded us to obey. And guess how many people did it, my friend? Zero. So if your doctrine is right, we're all going to hell anyway. You cannot tell me that you are so self-righteous that you believe that you are obeying God. Even Paul realized that his own righteousness was filthy rags. And this stuff is a stench. It's a stench in my nostrils, much less anybody else's. The audacity to say that we are telling people to break God's law, and yet all he wants us to do is the things he asks of us. Talk about a strange doctrine. There is nothing that I know that people would that the Scriptures agree with that says God has asked us, oh, would you do this, please? Oh, would you do that? Would you please not commit adultery? Would you not do this? Would you obey me? Would you please? I mean,
would
what kind of a wimp
my
are
neighbor?
You representing?
Could you be? Would you be? You know, let's remember.
Yeah, he just turned God into Mr. Rogers.
Exactly. Let us remember, Michael, that God never asked anybody but the children of Israel to follow the law. He gave the 613 commandments of the law to Israel.
Uh-huh.
And whatever consummates Israel today, the most religious people that are living in Israel, which, as many of you beautiful humans know, Israel is a very secular community, but there is about 10% of the people that are Orthodox or Hasidic Jews, even to the extent of wanting to see a third temple built on the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem. But even the most religious people who identify themselves as Israel, whether they be Jews or Christians or whoever, Michael, would have to readily admit that they are not following the law of God because there is no temple.
Absolutely.
There is no animal sacrifice.
Absolutely. You can't.
So
it's not even possible.
So here's the thing, is that God never asked anybody but that ancient people, that were forerunners of the Messiah. The
and he didn't ask them to do it. He commanded them to do it.
Right, and they completely failed because that was the purpose. That was the purpose. You remember, and we've heard you teach this so well before, Michael, and this might be a good time to rehearse it, is that the 12 disciples represented the 12 tribes of Israel. So here it is, one final time. Here is God in the flesh commanding the 12 disciples to cut off their hand, to pluck out their eye, to believe in their heart, to not have a filthy thought in their mind, an adulterous thought, and to believe and not to deny him before man because they would be denied before the Father.
Yep.
And they all failed miserably, just the way God intended the law to work.
Yes, thank God. And, you know, the thing that I could encourage the person, what's his first name again?
Terry Barnes.
Perry?
Terry with a T.
Terry. The only thing I could encourage Terry in is accept defeat. You know, you can't find victory until you learn your defeat. And that is your righteousness, Terry, has been defeated. Your righteousness has been defeated by the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Give it up. Give up the struggle. Let the righteousness of God be your banner and your shield, because your self-righteousness is stinking as bad as it can possibly stink, as it came out so well in your letter of condemnation for the truth of the gospel.
It reminds me of a passage, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. We always thought that was a current spiritual conflict going on.
Oh, yes, as part of Demonology Week.
But the enemies of God are the enemies of your soul, Terry.
Yeah.
And they are the enemy of trying to keep you apart from that which is yours, which is the righteousness and the perfection of God. You know, Michael, earlier in the webcast, you talked about the fact that you couldn't embrace the title of reverend because you were not the Lord. But as far as the Father is concerned, you are. And as far as the Father is concerned, Terry is. And as far as the Father is concerned, George is and Pep is and I am and everybody within the sound of our voice. Because we have literally been taken in to Christ. See, the church teaches that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to have been redeemed. But we have learned that salvation and redemption are two separate issues completely. On the day of the Lord, Michael, on that day, the day of the cross, Jesus literally took the entire planet, past, present, and future, into himself. And when he was raised, all were raised as well.
That's good news. And, you know, I want to leave Terry on a good note of good news, too. And that is, I have the wonderful opportunity to possibly be the first person in your life to tell you that because of the blood of Jesus, dear one, you are holy, righteous, perfect. You are without fault. You are without blame. You are without blemish in the eyes of God because of the blood of Jesus. You don't need to deny it anymore. You need to accept it so that your life can be at peace again.
That is good news, ladies and gentlemen. And with about 10 minutes left to go on this first night of the webcast, Pledge Drive, Winter Pledge Drive for 2010, we want to encourage you to get on the line. Let us hear from you. There is time. If you're listening right now live and it's about 10:20, on the east coast of the U.S., please call us. Let us hear from you tonight about what these thoughts are doing for you, just some of your impressions, some of your insight. 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Sean, waiting to take your call. We still have time to hear from you. This is the first night of the 21-day Winter Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. So, Michael, we've been talking about the thank you gifts, the 5 CD series, spiritual gifts, rational,
vital mental disposition that you taught in Calgary. Why don't you give the beautiful humans a little bit of an idea of what you taught, what emerged, and what came out of that meeting, and what they have to look forward to when they get their thank you CD series?
Well, it started to teach on the book of Ephesians, and we did get a good ways into the book of Ephesians. I was had intended to teach the book of Philippians, actually, but as is my situation to usually have to deal with, and that's a change of course, change of plans right at the last minute. And this really was a change right at the last minute, and just this, I turned to Ephesians and started reading, and this piqued my attention drastically. And down to either the third or fourth verse in Ephesians, where it says that God has given us all spiritual gifts in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And as I looked at that, I started wondering, well, if God has given us all spiritual gifts, well, and I thought, well, you know, are these those things which we always talked about, or what is it? And I realized that the term spiritual only shows up 26 times in the New Testament. And and of the 26 times, 24 of them are in Paul's writings, the term spiritual. So I started looking at that actual term and the origin of the term. And part of the description was this logical, vital, mental disposition. Yes, it did mean angels, it meant demons, it meant all of these things. But right in the middle of it was this strange little definition of a rational, vital, mental disposition. So I tried to read it that way, that God has given us all rational, vital, mental disposition gifts in heavenly places. And it just started making sense to me that this is what we would call the mind of Christ. This is a mental disposition that is completely different than what people who are consumed by other forms of thought other than the gospel. That the gospel really is a gifting to us, that we can be logical. To be spiritual is to be logical. To be spiritual is to have a vital mental disposition, to where that our mental disposition, regardless of what we're going through, mentally or emotionally or financially, that our mental disposition can see these things for what they are. And thank God we can see that we understand in the gospel a vital mental disposition, a rational, vital mental disposition is to understand that your bad health isn't caused by your sin, that your financial position isn't because your kids are disobedient, that there is, you know, there's a way to see this. When you see the mental disorders in people who interpret their spiritual value by external things, you can tell there is no logical thinking there. It's not logical. There is no logic in it. I was so delighted to be able to apply the term logic and the term spiritual all in the same text and all in the same comment. It is spiritual to be logical. It is spiritual to have a vital mental disposition. And once you begin to realize all the things that the gospel does for the mind, for the soul, as Paul said, talked about the renewing of the mind and the saving of the soul, it was amazing, you know, to be able to put those together. So we are gifted, folks. You are gifted. You have spiritual gifts in heavenly places. You can think above the crowd, if you will. You don't have to try to figure out you know, what, you know, what's God doing? What did I do? Who sinned? This man or his brother? What do I need to do to get God to bless me? What do I need to do to get God to heal my child? Thank God you can walk away from all of that mental disorder by being spiritually gifted by God through the gospel. You can understand and have an understanding that will absolutely place you in a logical, vital, mental disposition. It's an important series.
It reminds me of your story, and maybe just in our last couple minutes here, you can remind everybody about the scientist that came up to you. I believe you were teaching in Colorado.
Yes.
That talked about the logical nature of the argument you were making in favor of the gospel.
Yeah, that was quite an experience. That was the first time in the U.S. I had shared on the redemption of the world. And this gentleman had been asked to come by someone else who was attending. And he, with a couple of other folks, were making comments as we were standing in a circle talking. And there was a buzz that night because this is the first time this had pierced the mentality of most of these people there that night. And, I mean, it was the shaking of everything I had ever done, definitely standing up and presenting the gospel of the redemption of the world. So these guys, it was just the scientist, a man who was a scientist, told me, he said, you know, he said, I've been to a lot of lectures. And he said, I mean, on a lot of subjects, including religion, and including all the other subjects that I have listened to, not just on religion. He said, this is the most logical thing I've ever heard in my life. And I'm standing there talking to somebody that is a scientist. And he says that this is more logical than even other subjects, scientific, the logic of science that he understands. And he said, this is more logical than logical science is. And it just blew me away. So I just wish that everybody else could have seen it that way instead of the entire ministry going down the tubes from that point on.
Well, we're afloat tonight, we're happy to say, ladies and gentlemen, with your help.
Yes.
And we are asking for your help as we do. We pause once a quarter to ask for your help on these pledge drives, and we're attempting to raise $15,000. We can do that with your help. Just go to the website this week, gospelrevolution.com, page down on the homepage, click on donations, make your best effort possible, and for gifts of $100 or more, whether they be in a one-time gift or over monthly pledges over the course of 12 months, you will receive free and postage paid the CD series, the five CD series that Michael just talked about, spiritual gifts, rational, you should add logical in there, but rational, vital, mental disposition. This is a logical thing. And here's the thing, Michael, the one thing that we have found is that the more the gospel permeates somebody's thinking and their soul, if you will, the more rational their response seems to be to life circumstances.
Really is. I can certainly speak for myself, and being involved in the lives of many a people in this great effort. It doesn't mean that the things that happen or do not happen necessarily change one way or the other, but the approach that we take to handling them. I handle things 100% different than I used to handle them. It's just amazing. It amazes me for myself. I'm very pleased to have the disposition that I have in handling things in life. It doesn't mean I always do that in the fashion that is best for me or somebody else, but at least I have the opportunity to do it now.
All right, folks. Well, let us hear from you this week, and we'll be in touch, as we said several times during the course of the program. If you'd like to talk to Michael personally about anything, but about specifically what's been happening with your CD orders or your past thank you gifts, feel free to call 281-955-1910. I want to thank Sean O'Halloran for doing a superb job, as always. We are at $400 going into the first week here of the Winter Pledge Drive. I want to thank Bill and Jeannie Schultz, Pep Washburn, Richard Mull, and George Najjar for their contributions. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!